My name's Kim, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in and out of OA since I was 21. I come from a family of addicts. My father was an alcoholic who was saved by Alcoholics Anonymous. My very first 12-step meeting, I attended with my entire family to celebrate his 1 year of sobriety. I know what the 12 steps can do. It can create miracles, and I have witnessed it in my own family. I started binging when I was 15. I was isolated and lonely. My family was riddled with anger, fighting, and alcohol. As I used to say, we all got in our one-man boats, our one-man lifeboats, and we had to save ourselves. So I discovered food, and I binged like a glutton. I binged until I hurt. I binged night after night, day after day. Summer after I was 15, I gained a great deal of weight. In my first fourth step, I said it was 35 pounds. I can't believe it was 35, but it was certainly a lot of weight. In addition to the weight, I acquired a very, very ugly personality. I was not a fat and happy girl. I was angry, superior, hardened, untouchable. I was miserable. I was a very miserable person. And worst of all, I was alone. I did not know what the answer was. I did not know how to stop. I didn't know the disease I had. I didn't know it was a disease. I just thought I was a loser, in a loser family. And so when I was 17, my mother took me to a diet doctor. And my life began as a binger restrictor. I started with diet pills from a doctor. I loved them, I'll admit it. I loved those pills. Thank God I'm not addicted to them anymore, but I did love them. They made me high, and they permitted me, in addition to losing weight, they permitted me to begin my lifelong binger restrictor, because I would restrict enough so that I could binge again. And I would lose just enough weight and get just enough over the food coma so I could start again. When the diet doctor wouldn't give me pills anymore, I just got them on the street. Today, I'm very shocked when I hear about people buying drugs on the street, and yet I did it, and without even a thought. When I decided to get off of the drugs, I took up running. So I was running 5 miles a day, 10 miles on weekends. Then I went to Thin Within. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Thin Within. I did a weekend. That taught me a little bit about hunger. I'd never felt hunger in my since I was 15. I didn't even know what hunger was. Then I tried Atkins, South Beach, Jenny Craig. The only thing that kept me from Weight Watchers was that they weigh you, and there was no way I was ever going to be weighed. So I would walk into Weight Watchers. If they were still weighing people, I'd walk out. I tried throwing up. I read about it in a magazine, and I thought, this is perfect. I'll just throw up. I guess I was miserable at the time, but It turns out I have a really bad or good, I don't know what it is, gag reflex. So I couldn't throw up. I mean, I would have my head in the toilet and just couldn't throw it up. That brought me to I'll back up a little bit. My first foray into OA was when I was in my early 20s. My girlfriend and I went, and I didn't understand it. They said abstinence. I said abstinence. I mean, that's what I need my drugs for. You don't just get abstinent. Abstinent is something I need, pills for. So it never made any sense to me. I'd go to meetings though. My girlfriend and I was in LA at the time. We'd go to meetings in Beverly Hills so that we could see the movie stars. When I moved to New York, was so lonely. I didn't know anyone here when I moved here. I moved here for business, and I didn't know anyone. And I was, of course, gaining weight. I couldn't run here. The weather in San Diego is much better, so I couldn't run here. So I was getting fat. So I went, okay, I'll go to an AOA meeting. And because I always knew because of my father that the 12 steps, I knew in the back of my head that's a good thing. The 12 steps was a miracle in our family, no question about it. So I went to my OA meeting and I said, I don't know, how do you get abstinent? And one of the people there said, well, you can't eat when you're at a meeting. And we there, if there's one thing in New York, there's a lot of meetings. So you can go to meetings morning, noon, and night. And that's what I did. I went to meetings. I went all weekend. I just went from one meeting to another, and I finally got 3 or 4 days abstinence under my belt. And it was like a cult. I became totally committed. And unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say that. This is, as you know, a journey. And so, like the drugs may not have been the best solution. At least it was a step. I stopped binging, even if it was just so that I could start binging again. And so I feel the same way. When I went to the OA in New York, I was given the gray sheet. And so I followed gray sheet. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of gray sheet. Old timers would know about it. Very strict eating plan. I lasted about 6 weeks and then went on a binge. And I realized that that particular eating plan was too restrictive for me. And so, I started working with my sponsor to find a plan that worked for me. And it took a while. It took a long time. I had to, I think most of us, maybe have experienced the same thing. For some people, it's sugar. Sugar is not my trigger. The only reason I would eat sugar is so that I could eat more sugar and I mean salt and savory. Salt and savory is what I would binge on, and then I would buy ice cream. I don't know if you can mention foods here, but I would buy ice cream just so that I could eat more chips. So sugar's never been my problem, and so I never had to like worry about sugar. But I do have to worry about what's in the house. I have to worry about my plan for the day. I look at the day and decide, what the lean protein is going to be and my snack. And if I'm going out to dinner, I always check the restaurant menu and stuff like that. By the way, how's the time? How are we doing on time? Just not yet.
You have 10 minutes in.
I'm 10 minutes in. Thank you. So And I am pretty, I'm pretty settled on a food plan today. I'm pretty settled. I know what I can have in the house. I know what's a trigger food for me. Some things that are unhealthy for me, I do eat when there are witnesses and in a restaurant, if with where it's portion controlled. And if I have people over and we have foods that I usually wouldn't have in the house, everyone knows that they take a go bag home with them. I box everything up, it leaves the house. So I am pretty good. Because binging is, to me, it's binging. It's not having an extra bite of a sandwich, or it's not having a second helping of something in the ordinary course. I have to keep that in mind in the ordinary course. But it's really binging that scares me to death. I know that I certainly thought of suicide when I was 15, and I've thought of suicide in my 30s. Because of this disease, because of this disease. And as I mentioned, it upsets me. So a couple of times I've mentioned to people about OA, and I'm not a good 12-stepper. Whenever I've mentioned it, some people go, "Oh, Kim, you're just vain or something." And because weight, once I got that 30 pounds off, I've always been, 6, 10 pounds up or down. So I may not appear to be desperate or appear to be suicidal. And so it is hard for me to 12-step. I tried 12-stepping my brother. My brother, as there were four of us, and everybody had their own, as I say, lifeboat. And my one of my brothers was morbidly obese. And when I first got into OA in New York, my blue book is underlined, highlighted notes. I mean, I was just all in. And I sent got my brother a copy of the big book and some OA materials, and I wrote him, I sent him the package, and I said, "It saved Daddy, it saved me. Just thought you might want to try it." And I'm still get choked up when I saw him after that. He picked me up at the airport, and I basically said something about the package, and he said, "I know you meant well, don't go there." And he died when he was 42, and from the heart disease that you get from this disease. So anyway, so just even though the gray sheet didn't work, I did find over time a eating plan that worked. And I did my fourth and fifth steps. I had a sponsor here, and then I was bi-coastal, so I was also using a sponsor in San Diego. And so I've done the fourth and fifth step twice, what I would call privately, my own doing myself and then telling my sponsor. And then, in the last 8, 10 years, I did a group fourth step, which I don't know if you do that here, do that in California, but I don't even know if they do it here anymore. It's a wonderful group where you share your fourth step, and you go through all the various, seven deadly sins, and but by sharing, you get so much more out of it because you're listening to everyone. And that was one of the most terrific experiences, was doing the fourth step in a group. In fact, I'm reminded that I'm going to look and see if I can't do that again. Periodically, until February of 2009, periodically I would graduate from OA. I would say, I've internalized this. I know the scoop. I know the deal. I
5
know
minutes
my supplier.
remaining. 5 minutes remaining.
Thank you. I know my food plan so I can graduate. And then in February of 2009, I woke up from my food coma and crawled back to OA. And I have been binge free since February of 2009. And today I'm happy to tell you that I am binge free and continuing to work on the steps. I've step especially focused on 10 and 11 these days, making my amends immediately in the moment, not waiting. I find that the only pain that I get in life pretty much these days is the pain that my divine higher power sends me to wake me up to one of my many character flaws and shortcomings. The story I like to tell, I was in a supermarket and I was a complete bitch. Me, just, I was right, she was wrong. This store should be set on fire. I was so ticked. And I walked away and I said, I got a block away. And I said, Kim, you know, you have to go back and say your amends. Now you can be miserable all day long and go back tomorrow and feel horrible, or you can go back right now. So I turned around and went back to the store. I swear the woman thought that I had left just to go get my gun. And she looked at me and I said, you know, my evil twin has been wandering around and told me how terrible she was and sent me to say, I apologize. So I do think living in 9 and 10 and 11 are the best. It's where we find our peace. We find our peace in 10 and 11. And let me just wrap up. Two things I'm working on, and not working on, two things that I am enjoying is letting God take care of my problems. I have always said I'm letting God take care of my problems and then just doubling up on my willpower and my willfulness. But today, right now, I am just letting God decide, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. And he knows what the problem is and he'll figure it out. The second thing I just want to leave with, because it's something that I took away from the joint fourth step that I did, where we were all talking about stealing. And of course, I was thinking of stealing in the usual way. And this woman listed the times that she has stolen other people's happiness. And I was just struck by that. And I try to remember that every day, not to steal another person's happiness. And I close by telling you, thank you.